Good morning.
Great to see everyone this morning. Great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. It's a lovely morning. The mountains were shining especially nice this morning, recovering from that little mini blizzard that we had yesterday. Strange little thing. But anyway, it's great to be here. Today, within our church calendar, is Transfiguration Sunday. Transfiguration Sunday, and of course it is the Sunday of the year when we specifically remember Christ on the mountaintop when he is transfigured into a dazzling, brilliant light shining from him. So that's what this Sunday is about. So, I don't know, without anything further, I will hand you over to my man Daniel. Thank you.
Thanks. Morning, everybody. I'll just refer you to the announcements on the back of the bulletin. And then there's a few additions to that. The Thursday morning Bible study of the book of Acts is going to finish on the 14th, so this Thursday, and they're not going to meet on the 21st. But the new Bible study based on Liz Curtis Higgs' book, Bad Girls of the Bible. I think there's three books there, isn't there? Somewhat bad, bad, and really bad. So I don't know if they're going to be moving on into that one, but and I don't even know if there's any books on bad boys of the Bible, but that would be interesting. All ladies are welcome to join, and if you're interested, you can talk to Sandy Reed or talk to Vicky about that, getting a book. Tuesday is Shrove Tuesday, and that's Pancake Supper, and that's goes from 5 till 7, that's here in the church. And Wednesday is Ash Wednesday service, and that begins at 7 p.m., and church anniversary is next Sunday on the 17th, and they're going to celebrate, or we're going to celebrate the 24th, wow, anniversary of our congregation. If you're not a member and you want to become a member, then just please speak to Ian. And just a note on the insert on the library news. And tax receipts, if you came through the door and didn't pick up your tax receipts for this year, then Joanne and Charlie have those. And Kathy has an announcement.
I don't know, bad girls of the Bible, and I'm wearing red today. Is that the best? Actually, there's a reason I'm wearing red. It's because today is Chinese New Year, and we have a little Chinese-born granddaughter, so gung hei fat choy, everybody! And red is the color of Chinese New Year. Anyway, that's not why I'm up here. I am up here to talk about multiculturalism a little bit. We live in a very multicultural society. We're used to seeing faces and costumes of all different varieties. And I think it's pretty good for us to be connected with people from other cultures. But there's bad things about other cultures, too. And our ladies' group, the Ladies Christian Fellowship, has a project to address some of that. We're meeting on Thursday, so I'll tell you a little bit about it, and I have more information if you'd like more. In many developing countries, for up to a quarter of a month, 5 to 7 days a month, women and girls are ostracized, they're in danger, they can't go to school, they can't participate sometimes even in their family life, and it's a very bad situation for the development of these countries, for the safety of the women and girls, and we can do something about it. We didn't know about that, but we can do something about it. So our ladies' group is having a project. On Thursday, we're going to meet at 9 in the morning. I think the Bible study ladies will be doing their thing off in a different... No Bible study? Okay. Okay, that's fine. We're not going to interfere with Bible study. Thanks, Yetta. So at 9 o'clock, we're going to meet, and we have a project to make underwear that will help African girls and women to be able to live life more fully. And so if you're interested in this project, if you'd like to know a little bit more, or if you'd like to be involved, come and talk to me afterwards, or any of our Ladies Christian Fellowship group. Or come on Thursday and join us and get excited about this very, very important and personal and interesting project. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Are there any other announcements? Thanks.
As Dan has already announced, Tuesday's Pancake Tuesday, and it is also known as Fat Tuesday. Fat Tuesday. And that's because the men make such delicious pancakes and sausages, and we stuff ourselves with them. And then, strangely enough, the very next day, Ash Wednesday, is the first day of Lent. And now you see why it is actually called Fat Tuesday in some cultures. You fatten yourself up on the Tuesday, and then you spend the next 40 days fasting, in theory. But that's the Ash Wednesday service. I welcome you to it. It's a beautiful little service. We have communion. At the beginning of Lent, we acknowledge our reliance on God to cleanse us of our sins, and we just take a look at ourselves in our own lives, and it's quite a moving service. So that's Pancake Tuesday, 5 till 7, and then Wednesday, Ash Wednesday service at 7 o'clock. Everyone's welcome. And next Sunday, which is the church anniversary, we will be having that great anniversary, and we've already mentioned their little Jillian, and it's Jillian's dedication next Sunday as well. So she will be dedicated at our anniversary service, which will be really nice. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. In the theme of transfiguration, we read in St. Luke chapter 9, while Jesus was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." I'd like to invite Phil to come on up here and lead us in our approach choruses. Thank you, Phil.
Good morning, everyone. We'll start out this morning with the chorus we've done before. It's called Enough. There.
And all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. You're my supply, my breath of life, still more awesome than I know. You're my reward, worth living for, still more awesome than I know. And all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. Your sacrifice of greatest price, still more awesome than I know. You're my coming King, you are everything, still more awesome than I know. And all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, loving you is more than enough.
Next is from the Red Book, if you like. It's number 54, I Lift Your Name.
Lord, my heart can grow so far away and cold, and yet for me your love is still the same. Lord, I bend my knee in awe and fear of thee, my head bowed down in reverence to your name. I lift your name, your holy name, Jehovah God Elohim. The great I am, the risen now, my comforter and king. Lord, my heart's desire is to be filled with Spirit's fire. My purpose is to worship you alone. Open up my soul to worship and adore, to be a fragrance offered to your throne. I lift your name, your holy name, Jehovah.
Up today with a chorus called God is Great.
All creation cries to you, worshiping in spirit and in truth. Jesus Christ, God's Son. All creation gives you praise. You alone are truly great. You alone are God who reigns for eternity. God is great, and His grace fills the earth, fills the heavens, and your name will be praised through all the world. God is great, sing His praise, all the earth, all the heavens, 'cause we're living for the glory of your name, the glory of your name. All to you, O God, we bring. Jesus, teach us how to live. Let your fire burn in us, that all may hear, that all may see. God is great, and His grace fills the earth, fills the heavens, and your name will be praised through all the earth. God is great, sing His praise, all the earth, all the heaven, 'cause we're living for the glory of your name, the glory of your holiest, the Lord. earth sings, the whole earth sings. Holy is the Lord, the whole earth sings, the whole earth sings. God is great and His grace fills the earth, fills the heavens, and Your name will be praised through all the world. God is great, sing His praise, all the earth, all the heavens, 'cause we're living for the glory of Your name, the glory of Your name.
Our thanks to Phil for those approach choruses this morning and leading us in our worship, and we certainly appreciate it. Thank you, Phil. So we're singing God is Great, and the whole earth declares the glory of His name. And didn't you find that when you drove to church this morning? The sun shining, the blue sky, the mountains are all bright and gleaming, and you just took the time to look around you and you can see the glory of God's presence all around. We bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious and loving Father, we just come before You once again on this Your holy day, and we give praise and honor and glory to You, Lord, because we look around us and we can see Your grace and Your presence with us in every aspect of nature, Lord. We look at Your creations and we just bow down in glory and awe, and we honor You, Lord. And so we come to You again this day, Father, to worship You. We pray that You will accept the worship and the praise that we bring. We pray, Father, that You will open our hearts, that You will open our minds, and that each of us here this day, Lord, that we may hear Your voice as You speak to us through every aspect of this time of worship. May we hear You, Lord. May we slow down our hearts and our minds, and we pray that You will help us to listen. Accept the praise we bring, Lord. We've come in the name of Jesus, and we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading this morning comes from Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 to 35, the radiant face of Moses. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant of law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with them, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went to speak with the Lord. And the responsive reading comes from Psalm 99. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim, let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion, He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise Your great and awesome name, He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord, and he answered them.
He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. He kept his statutes and
Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punished their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy.
So for our special music this morning, it's a great joy and a delight for us to have Ashley Reed. And Ashley is going to present for us, I don't know, whatever Ashley is going to present for us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job, Ashley. That was beautiful. When I said at the beginning that I'm not quite sure what she's going to do, that's the thing when you've got people who are multi-talented. You know, she could have sang, she could have played the piano, she could have danced, she could have done whatever. But we thank you, Ashley. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. Now your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your grace and for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring our gifts. They are humble tokens of our gratitude, but we ask you, Father, to accept our gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. The children would like to come and join me, please. Going to talk today about pink flamingos. Pink flamingos. Who knows what colour a pink flamingo is? Yes?
Pink.
Anybody agree with that? Pink. Have you ever seen a pink flamingo for real?
No.
You ever?
You.
Where? So there is. Pink flamingos.
They are pink, but they are not pink for all of their lives. When they are first hatched, they are not pink at all. Now then, anybody have any idea what colour they are? Oh, everybody knows this. I'm going to go down. What colour?
Grey.
Grey.
White.
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 Pink.
Pink. Deduction. Well, they're actually a greeny sort of a greyy colour. They're a kind of a greeny greyy colour. You can see they are kind of grey, but they've got a kind of a greeny tinge to them. But they only stay this colour for a... Actually, who said white? Because some of them are white as well, actually, so you are right there. But when they get to about 3 years old, they change colour. You never guess what colour they change to. What colour do they change to?
Pink.
That's right, pink. They change to pink. Now then, they change to pink because of what they eat. What do you think they eat? Everybody tell me.
Shrimp.
Whoa, fish. Shrimp. They ate lots of shrimp and they ate lots of sea algae. And because they ate all these pink things, they turn pink. Now then, what do you think it would be like if we changed into the colour of what we eat? Now then, what colour would you be? We'd be like a rainbow, wouldn't we? We eat all kinds of things because... But we don't, thankfully. We don't change because of what we eat. Now, in the Bible today, we have a story of Jesus changing. He took some of his friends up on top of the mountain, and when he was up there, he was what we call transfigured, which kind of means he changed. What do you think he changed to? Does anybody know what happened to Jesus? What do you think happened? You don't know. Okay. Anybody else not know? Well, he started shining. Light was shining out of him and his face was beaming bright and his whole clothing was bright and he was shining. And this was because when he was praying, the glory of God descended upon him and he was shining bright. He was shining bright. Okay? And that's what happened in our Bible story today. And God wants you to know that because God wants you to know that he can change all of us. He can change us into really bright and shining people. And when he says, you are the light of the world, he says that because he comes into our lives and he shines out. Maybe not as bright as Jesus, but he shines from us. And that's why that's in the Bible today. So it's not pink flamingos in the Bible, but it's about changes. Shall we say a little prayer together? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you shine with the glory of your Holy Father in heaven. And we thank you, Lord, that when we ask you to come into our lives, you help us to shine for you in the world. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Okay, time for Sunday school. Thank you.
And this hymn that we are going to sing now, it's that great old hymn, Immortal, Invisible. It's number 25 in the hymn book. But as we sing it, just let your mind digest the words in relation to Transfiguration Sunday, which is what it is today. So we stand and we sing to God's glory, the hymn 25, Immortal, Invisible.
Most glorious, the Ancient of Days.
We come to our time of prayer. It's a kind of a mysterious time of the worship service because God hears your prayers. And your prayers are sometimes just sitting there on your heart and they're never actually getting into actual words, but the Spirit of God is taking your prayers and presenting them before the throne of grace. And what I'm doing up here is pretty general stuff. Pretty general stuff. Because I don't know what you've been up to in this past week. You might have had a good week. You might have been a bad girl of the Bible. But the Lord God, in his grace and majesty, awaits our prayers, whatever our prayers may be. And so we bow our heads right now and we join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father, God of power and might, source of all glory and light, we thank you for your eternal presence, for your gentle guidance, for your overwhelming beauty, for your quiet whispers, and for your powerful acts. We thank you, Lord, for those moments that come to us when you draw back the veil that separates us from you and you will allow us to glimpse your majesty and your power. Help us, Lord, to make ourselves available for those moments. Teach us to slow down, to stop, to listen, to pause and to look within ourselves for your gentle presence, and to look at the world around us for the signs that you leave for those who care to see. Strengthen within us the awareness that you are with us at every moment. Grant us, Father, not only the memory of the words of Christ as they are found in the Holy Scriptures, but allow us as well to hear his word within our own hearts at all times. Lord, we pray, put your mark on us today. Give to us that which you desire us to have, and help us to share that which you desire for us to share. Cast out our fear, our anxieties, our turmoil, and our troubles, and help us, Lord, to shine with the radiance of your loving presence. Father, we pray for those situations and for those people who are especially upon our mind and our hearts this day. Those whom we behold before your throne of grace, and whose names we now whisper. And we do this, Father, in the sure knowledge that you will hear our prayers, and in your time and in your ways, that you will answer our prayers. We pray in silence. And now, Holy Father, we pray for this, our church, for our church family, for your people. Help us to welcome the gifts of those in our midst and to dedicate those gifts that you have granted to us, that those we meet in the week ahead may see reflected, perhaps in our words, perhaps in our deeds, just a glimpse of your grace and your glory, that salvation may come to one reaching out to you. All of these things, Holy Father, the spoken and the unspoken, along with the forgiveness of our sins, we ask in the name of your Son and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we listen now to the word of the Lord.
It's not me. Okay, Philip came to me and said, Sue, can you read scripture? And then they left. So I'm not going to tell them.
Good morning. You never know when I do this. We'll do the, what are we here? Luke, this is the gospel according to St. Luke. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him, went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Jesus and his companions were very sleepy, but then they became fully awake. They saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at the time what they had seen. And the epistle is in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 24. No, 12. Anyway. Therefore, since we have much to hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who had put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were dull, made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Present weaknesses and resurrection life. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced sacred and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth, plainly we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. These are the readings. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks to Mac and also to Susan for standing by here. We appreciate it. It's good for Mac to have an understudy, stood standing there ready to go. And now in the right in theme with our worship service today, we stand and we sing to God's glory. Number 2 from the Red Chorus book, Shine, Jesus, Shine.
You now bring us, shine on me.
Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Shining and changing faces. Let's face it, people are obsessed with the uniqueness of faces, with one another's faces. We are all different. We are all uniquely made. And the different arrangements of our eyes, our nose, our mouth, our cheeks, our foreheads never cease to amaze and fascinate us. The 18th century German humorist, George Lichtenberg, I'm sure you all know him well, he referred to the human face as the most entertaining surface on earth. The most entertaining surface on earth. We recognize friends and enemies by their faces. Bank robbers wear masks to hide their faces, because that is how they can be identified. Babies look at faces, learning how to trust and to recognize the familiar and to reject and to be fearful of the unfamiliar. This is the child that saw Iris when she had a fat lip in one of the stores. And long before the internet and before Facebook were ever dreamed of, people have been walking and talking Facebooks. Our language also reflects our fixation on the face. We speak of taking things at face value or about doing an about face. We face off against our opponents. And when we get found out, we have to face the music. To stand face to face with another signifies a privileged position. But you get the idea of what I'm saying here. The face is very important to us. And in the transfiguration scene described in our gospel reading today, Jesus' face, and indeed his whole being, is transformed by God's glorious presence. God's glory is physically upon Jesus' face, which shone so gloriously and so illuminated his whole being and the whole scene that they were in, that even his disciples, which were very often not too fast to catch on to things, they did, and they later reported on the radiant nature of Jesus at this moment. In our lectionary epistle reading from 2 Corinthians, Paul recalls what happened in our Old Testament reading, another transfiguration scene, when the face of Moses also shone from the glory of God's presence, as Moses descended from the mountain bearing the two tablets of stone which bore the Ten Commandments. And Moses' face shone so brightly, the people were afraid to approach him. So Moses draped a veil over his face and played down the face-to-face encounter that he had had with Almighty God. And in this way, people were able more to focus on God's laws rather than on Moses' radiant face. In other words, the glory of God's promise, his presence, and his ultimate purpose was subtly screened and veiled from public view. Paul makes the point that those who continued to look to the old laws of Moses for their salvation still had a veil over their faces, blocking them from God's glory. And in 2 Corinthians 3:16, Paul says, "But when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." When anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The Jerusalem temple was made up of a series of courtyards, and these courtyards could be accessed by various people, depending on whom and depending on what they were. And the very innermost part was the Holy of Holies, regarded as God's special dwelling place in the midst of his people. Only the high priest entered this place, and he could only do it on one day of the year, on the Day of Atonement. Separating the Holy of Holies from what is known as the Hekal, which means the holy place of worship, was a huge curtain called the Veil of the Temple. And historians tell us that this huge curtain was 60 feet high, 30 feet wide, and at least 4 inches thick. That's quite a curtain. I wonder who made that one. And it's also reported that to get that curtain in place, it took a team of horses to pull it, to get it right up there and to separate the Holy of Holies. In Matthew's account of the crucifixion, we read in chapter 27 and verse 50, when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And the next part we read of God's dramatic action as he removes the veil separating himself from mankind, that veil separating people from the Holy of Holies. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Top to bottom, indicating an action of God separating. And the earth quaked and the rocks were split. God wants a face-to-face relationship with his people. He wants nothing to separate us from that and from his great love. Popular Christian writer Charles Swindoll, which I'm sure most of us have read parts of, if not lots of, once found himself in one of those situations when he had too many commitments in too few days. You know those times when you kind of feel overwhelmed, you've got so much to do, and he says he was irritable and he was nervous and he found himself snapping at his wife and at his children. And he recalls in his book, Avoiding Stress Fractures, that before long his home was reflecting the pattern of his hurry-up lifestyle. And then God spoke. God intervened. After supper one evening, his younger daughter Colleen wanted to tell him something important that had happened to her at school that day. And she began hurriedly, Daddy, I want to tell you something, and I'll tell you really fast. And suddenly, realizing her frustration, he answered, Honey, you can tell me, and you don't have to tell me really fast. Tell me slowly. And he says in his book, he has never forgotten her answer. And she said to him, Then listen slowly. Then listen slowly. You can just hear God's voice speaking from the cloud, speaking to Peter and James and John, and speaking to you and to me. This is my son. Listen to him. This is my son. Listen to him. Slow down. Listen slowly. Don't be too quick to move things your way. Don't be too fast to shape the world as you see it. Slow down. My son is trying to show you another way, another world, another kingdom. And you've got to listen. And you've got to listen slowly. Listen slowly. Now, the Old Testament teaches us, if you see the face of God, you die. If you see the face of God, you die. Exodus 33 and verse 20. No one shall see me and live. This is the voice of God. Yet elsewhere, the Bible teaches us to seek the face of God. So is this some kind of a death wish? If you see God, you see God's face, you die. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually, from 1 Corinthians 16. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then they will hear from heaven. 2 Corinthians 7, Chronicles 7. That first one was 1 Chronicles, by the way, not Corinthians. And Psalm 105, verse 4. Lord to the Lord and his look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. This is confusing. What's going on here? It would seem very unlikely that these texts would be offered to us as a death wish. These texts urge the faithful to seek the face of the Lord, to be on a continual quest for that moment of being face to face with God's glory, seeking God's face, getting just a glimpse, getting just a shadow, a suggestion, a brief lifting of the veil. And Paul suggests to us, indeed tells us, that we now have the human face of God in Christ Jesus to guide us, to inspire us on our quest. In Christ Jesus, we have a sneak preview of God's image, of God's face. You know, I frequently make mention of the joy that we experience when we come into the sanctuary, when we come into God's house, into this holy place. And I think we all know and we acknowledge that it is because of God's presence in his holy sanctuary that we experience that great uplifting of our spirits, that recharging of our batteries. We feel good. But did you ever think, how does God's Spirit ever get into this place? How does it get to be here? Well, it's because of you. It's because of you. The Bible teaches that you, that your body is God's temple. God's Holy Spirit dwells within you. And when Jesus says, you are the light of the world, it is him, it is his Holy Spirit that dwells within you, which is shining out from you. You are reflecting his glory. When you look into the faces of your brothers and sisters in Christ, you are looking into the face of God. Only a glimpse, only a brief lifting of the veil, which the Lord Jesus Christ, by his grace, permits to those who love him. When we allow the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our lives, to enter our lives, and when we live our lives for him, then we too are transfigured. We are filled with his glory, and the light of his love shines from us, from the lives that we lead. Look around you. Look around you now, and you will catch a glimpse of the face of God. Go on, look. Do you see it? It's right there. And many, many people here today have been to the mountaintop and have experienced the very presence of God. But God did not make mountains for us to live upon. We do not stay up there. We come back down to the valley below where we live and where we, you and I, represent the very presence of our God. And God is love. God is love. Love is patient and kind and never boastful or envious. Love rejoices in the truth, endures all things, never ends. The big time movie hit of this winter has been the musical movie version of Victor Hugo's 200-year-old book, Les Misérables, or as we know it, Les Mis. And in the finale musical number of the movie, we discover that the book is not about history or politics or economics. The heroes, Fantine, Valjean and Eponine, sing together about that which has transformed and transfigured their lives. And their closing song is, "Take my hand and lead me to salvation. Take my love, for love is everlasting. The truth that once was spoken, to love another person is to see the face of God." Did you get that? To love another person is to see the face of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. We're going to close with our two closing hymns. And the first one is the Battle Hymn of the Republic, which I know pleases some people. One over there and one over there. Norm likes it as well. I think we all actually like it. But it's got that line in it which talks about this love, this thing that transfigures you and me. We stand and we sing to God's glory. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
We get to start again, yes.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning, his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that figures you and me. As he died to make men whole, let us live to make men free, while God is marching on.
To be God's people. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.